Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg, and we are going to be checking in with the California League of Conservation Voters because for those of us living here, there's a lot on the ballot that we need to pay attention to. If you don't live in California, I hope you'll still find this segment interesting because many of these issues do have a national impact, and also perhaps you can learn from some of the issues that we are tackling here, some that are being tackled with, and we don't want them to be, talking about Proposition 32, for one. And David is the political director of the California League of Conservation Voters. Welcome to the show.
Well, glad to be here, Betsy. Thanks for having me.
There's a lot to talk about. Let's begin with Proposition 32. It's very deceiving, not surprising, that the Koch brothers' tentacles reach all the way to California from Kansas and seem to be everywhere.
And millions of dollars from anonymous donors are pouring in and, without disclosure of who is funding them. An Arizona committee sent in $11 million just last week. And the state of California is still trying to track down who the donors are. It probably result in litigation. This is sort of a Groundhog Day proposition. It's been on the ballot two or three times in the past, been defeated each time under the Paycheck Protection Act, it was called. And this time around, it got even worse. Instead of kind of equally hamstringing corporations and unions, this is just a full-out assault on the ability of unions to collect political money from their members to act on their members' behalf in campaigns, and does absolutely nothing to stop corporations or wealthy individuals from spending all they want to influence the electorate. It's really egregious, and it is symptomatic of what's going on around the country.
What is it tracking right now? How's it polling?
The polling shows the no side. The last I saw, the no side was ahead, but it was closing. The disparity in money is almost 2-1. The advocates have raised about $100 million, and labor and allies have raised about $60 million. If the voters are well informed, if they read their newspapers or read the arguments for and against, I think it stands a good chance of being defeated. But you never know. Money buys communication, and in an age when the corporate media does not do a particularly good job of reporting, the information is usually gathered by citizens in the form of ads. You know, whether they're online or on TV or appearing in their mailbox, that's the chief form of communication.
And there was a rally in San Francisco this week opposing Prop 32. Just want to play a clip of these environmental leaders, Michael Broom from the Sierra Club and others, talking about why it's so important to vote no.
32! No on 32! We share a vision of fighting climate change, of growing clean energy jobs, and silencing the voice of workers will set us back tremendously. And we will not allow that, and we will fight every day until Election Day to ensure we defeat Proposition 32.
Prop 32 is backed by big oil billionaires like the Koch brothers, who see California as a key battleground state in their effort to make sure that the oil and gas industries are maintaining their dominance over our political process.
The candidates they endorse, the candidates they support with their very deep pockets, are those who are global climate change deniers.
An attack on labor unions and workers' rights is an attack on the whole clean energy economy.
If you care about clean air, vote no on Prop 32. If you care about clean water and a safe environment, vote no on Proposition 32. If you care about environmental justice in the state of California, vote no on 32.
Prop 32 is a fraud and a phony masquerading as campaign finance reform. Prop 32 is not the reform we seek. It's about taking power away from working people and fueling a union-busting agenda that will make our communities less safe and decimate our environmental protections.
The Union of Concerned Scientists sees through this phony campaign reform of Prop 32 for what it really is, a way for corporations to buy a legislature that will roll back California's environmental advances, reduce the rights of workers, and silence the voices of Californians.
It's not enough for these big oil billionaires to pollute our air. It's not enough for them to pollute our water and to pollute our atmosphere. Now they're seeking to pollute our political process as well.
That is from that rally held just this week in San Francisco. So, David, another thing I want to talk about is the attack on Fran Pavley. She's a fabulous state senator. She is a champion of AB 32, our global warming emissions legislation, famously signed by Governor Schwarzenegger back in 2006. Why are they going after her?
Well, I think you you sort of set the stage yourself by saying what happens in California tends to happen around the rest of the country later on. And California, frankly, is in the vanguard in the United States, certainly, and in many ways in the world, in environmental protection, particularly the battle against global warming and climate change. Fran Pavley was a champion of that. She wrote the key law, AB 32. It was signed by Governor Schwarzenegger, but I need to say that he did everything in his power to weaken it before he got to his desk. It was Fran Pavley and backed by the Democrats in the Assembly and the Senate that crafted the bill and made it possible for us to begin making progress fighting climate change. I just want to say I've been in my job for 20 plus years and been aware of climate change probably since the 1970s, and that we have taken so long and done so little with absolute knowledge and certainty from a scientific point of view that this is happening and that humans are causing it is appalling. The folks that are going after Fran Pavley, trying to defeat her with a gentleman who we simply don't know how he looks on climate change. He comes with no particular background in government and very limited range of views that are made public. The folks that are backing her are, in fact, the oil companies and other polluters, doing the same kind of thing that they're doing on Prop 32, trying to buy an election for someone who's going to do their bidding. Fran Pavley has actually made enemies out of the entire fossil fuel industry because of what Prop 32 will do for California. And before that, it was her legislation, I believe it was AB 1493, that set in train events that finally got the federal government to establish greater fuel economy standards for the fleets that are made and sold in California and around the country. Transportation sources are a key component of climate change, but it's also refineries and industrial processes and things like that that have to be dealt with. And, you know, these folks don't want change. They want a docile legislature that will do their bidding, I guess, under the theory that corporations live forever, no matter how much they shorten the lives of people. The campaign against Fran Pavley is exemplary of what's been going on in California for some time. And I have to say that the more progressive forces have been able to beat these people in most districts in California. But they band together in independent expenditure committees, PACs, with fanciful-sounding, kind of benign-sounding names. California Seniors Advocate League, for instance, you wouldn't associate with Philip Morris and Chevron and Occidental Petroleum, but they're the key funders of that. They also hide their money. In California, we have pretty stringent reporting requirements. So it passes from PAC to PAC to PAC. So a group called Jobs PAC will contribute to, say, a group called California Now, which winds up in the California Senior Advocates League coffers. And each step of the way is another click that you have to go through if you're a citizen and want to research where the money's coming from. It's yet another click on the Secretary of State's website to find out what the source of this money is. Mm-hmm. Chevron has put $815,000 into independent expenditure against environmentalists in California, and that's just one donor. That's a huge amount of money to be contributing contribute to a campaign to take out a senator.
It is, but it's not as much as they're spending on their We Agree ads.
No. It's a much larger audience. You know, there are 40 Senate seats in California, but the others are they're trying to speak to the entire electorate. So it scales up pretty rapidly. There's also a group who's spending a huge amount of money against Fran Pavley. It's called Citizens Against Wasteful Spending. And they have not filed a report with the Secretary of State since 2011. If you go to the Secretary of State's website, you'll see that they haven't filed a contribution received since 2011. And yet they're able to spend hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars without consequence to try to defeat a really superb California senator. And I think that's wrong. And it's getting worse. It's not getting better.
Yeah, you've been at this a long time. Can you believe, you know, you said you couldn't earlier, but just to back up for a second, you know, 2012, the debates just happened, not a mention of climate change.
No.
And attacks on, you know, good environmental legislators and legislation, and so much at stake, and so clearly, you know, so transparently, those that are fighting, you know, the greater good have such short-term, you know, special interests. Really, greed is at the core of it, protecting one's interests or particular job. And how outrageous is it that we're facing this at such a late stage in our ecological unfolding?
Yeah, it's in some ways inexplicable. I think that, frankly, campaigns always talk about a rather limited range of issues. However, this is the first campaign since 1988, which has not, in a debate format, for either the president or vice president, even talked about climate change. I lay that, the blame for that, partly on the candidates, but I also blame it on the media. The media is so focused on horse races and hot button issues and sexy stuff to build their ratings that the issues of the day that impact the lives of the citizenry are left unexamined. And that's an outrage. People die because of pollution. Our future is impaired because of pollution. The coastal areas of the United States over the next 20 years are going to see more and more damage from rising sea levels. It's inevitable. The scientists are, frankly, their hairs on fire as they see that their predictions are behind the curve in dealing with the impacts of climate change that is generated by human carbon emissions. And, you know, when you live in the state of Florida, if you've got beachfront property, you ought to be looking inland, maybe in Georgia somewhere in the hills. It's an outrage. It's not just rising sea levels. It's availability of water, which is a key to, food and agriculture. It's the spread of formerly isolated diseases throughout the world. We're dealing with West Nile virus now because conditions have changed to encourage the spread of the kind of virus carried by mosquitoes that is now rampant in most of the United States. These kind of impacts have been predicted for a long time, and more they're coming, and yet we're silent about it, and that's an outrage. I will say in Mr. Obama's defense that his administration, given the constraints of a very aggressive anti-environmental protection Congress, has made pretty strong strides in establishing new emissions standards for coal and other emitters. His CAFE standards, or the fuel efficiency standards, are very, very aggressive. He got sign-off from Detroit and other automakers to do so. That's major progress on the climate front. However, the counter to that is expansion of oil drilling and coal mining in this country, and an underinvestment. Although he's made great strides in making investment into alternatives, every step of the way is a battle with these people. These are people who, some of them, whom believe the Earth is only 6,000 years old, and they sit on science committees in the Congress, and that's what the president's dealing with. And the corporate media talks about it a little bit, but it's always on a he said, she said basis. And there is no way you can take a consensus of the scientific community and weigh it against the beliefs of individuals that are based on books that are written 2,000 years ago and not intended to be scientific manuals. But that's the way we're making our decisions about environmental issues in the Congress these days.
I share you in blaming mainstream media for so many lapses, and not the least of which is, you know, not jumping all over the fact that, you know, Romney mocked Obama in his acceptance speech at the convention and then repeated it again on Meet the Press, you know, putting Obama down for daring to care about the environment and rising sea levels. That went mostly unnoticed outside of green circles, and, you know, that's outrageous. That he's making a snarky comment, and then, by the way, that was when Hurricane Isaac was still hitting New Orleans and environs.
And, you know, we've suffered through, the Midwest has suffered through a unexpected and very severe drought. The swings in the weather, the extremity of the weather that we're experiencing, fits pretty well. The climate models have been established for years as a consequence of climate change, and that the rest of the world is working hard trying to solve the problem. And nobody's perfect in this battle. But if you look at Europe, even countries in South America and Central America, and what has been happening in parts of Asia, we're just falling farther and farther behind, and we're doing it willfully. We're doing it out of blind ignorance and indifference, and it's fueled by, the interesting part of the climate debate is you'll see reports coming from scientists, and the media just hightail it out to so-called think tanks and research centers that are largely funded by the fossil fuel industry that do no independent science and offer nothing scientific to refute the arguments. They just basically say, uh-uh. And so you have this false argument going on and reported in the media of some say climate change is happening and others say, uh-uh. Well, that's not reporting. That's stenography. And what we need is reporting. We need people to look, to try to find the truth, show what the facts say, and get that in front of the audience, whether it be print media or electronic media or wherever it is. And that's just not happening these days.
David, we just have a couple minutes left. I'd love to give you a chance to promote the environmental scorecard that you have at the national as well as California level for anyone who may not have a chance to brush up on all the issues or the candidates. You really keep track of voting records. Is that for candidates as well as those in office?
Well, we evaluate candidates, those who will participate in our process, and we make endorsements of candidates. And we also evaluate the records, the environmental records of legislators in the California Assembly and Senate. And our sister organization, the League of Conservation Voters, does the same for the Congress. Our website is EcoVote, ECOVOTE.org. And if you want to see our endorsements, click on endorsements. And if you want to see the scores for the legislative session, click on scorecard. For LCV, it's lcv.org. And you make the same kind of clicks there, and all that information is in front of you. The most important website besides ours that you can go to is go to CalAccess. That's cal-access.sos.ca.gov and campaigns, and click on it and see who's paying for the people who are asking for your vote. It is the most important thing you can do is to inform yourself about who's trying to buy your vote. And I think you'll find it very eye-opening. And there's a direct correspondence between who is backing and contributing to candidates and what their performance is going to be up in Sacramento or in Washington.
Well, I found your comments very enlightening. Thank you so much, David Allgood, and all the good work you do there at the League of Conservation Voters.
You're more than welcome. Thanks for having me.
That does it for this edition of The Green Front. If you joined us in progress, check out the archives at prn.fm or my website at thegreenfront.com. Meantime, have a great green week. Less than 2 weeks to go before the election, so brush up on the issues. There is very important stuff on there. And, of course, look at it through green lenses. I'm sure if you listen to this show, you will do that.